Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Welcome to CUTV News Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters. We thank you so very much for joining us today. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. It is 9 a.m. at the time of this broadcast. Yes, 9 a.m. Monday morning, Eastern Daylight Time. And it is June 12th, 2017. And this is part one of a two-part series with our very special guest, Donna Carlin. Now, she is in beautiful Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and we do thank her so very much for taking a moment or two out of her what's going to be a very busy Monday for her, as they all are, to share her story with us and to share how she may be able to help you and others in your fields of endeavor and in your life as a whole. You know, we're not just human beings. We are humans becoming, always changing, shifting, adapting to new circumstances and challenges. Global leadership coach, speaker, author, and the shadow coach, Donna Carlin, boasts a 35-year track record of helping people become remarkable. As the founder and president of the No Ceiling, Just Sky Institute, Donna brings a 360-degree perspective to human evolvement through a dynamic, strengths-focused, full-circle approach to leadership development. She says she doesn't want to just help people. She wants to help people help themselves. She wants to give them as many tools, approaches, insights, and perspectives they need in order to feel coached 24/7 when she's not around, and also so they can make better choices for themselves. No Ceiling, Just Sky Institute is the umbrella organization for A Better Perspective, which is Donna Carlin's leadership coaching, consulting, and training firm, and the School of Shadow Coaching, through which Donna Carlin has taught her personal coaching methodology on six continents. That's right. Her clients say that she is a troublemaker. She is a pot stirrer. Really, what she likes to do is to connect the dots between what people know about themselves and what they don't know about themselves. She connects the dots between people and connects those dots for people who have an idea that they want to bring to fruition. She helps people do that. Donna Carlin excels because she works with the entire human being. Without further ado, let's welcome our very special guest again as we kick off part one of our series with Donna Carlin. Again, global leadership coach, speaker, author, and the shadow coach and founder and president of the No Ceiling, Just Sky Institute. Donna, thank you so very much for joining us live here on CUTV News Radio. It's an honor and pleasure to have you with us, and welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure. I know you've got a very busy day ahead, so I want to dive right in because I'm very fascinated by the work that you do, and I always like to find out where people's source of inspiration or where their enthusiasm, their thirst for what they do that motivates them and drives them forward comes from. Were there scenarios or situations in your life, Donna, that were aha moments for you, that were possibly sources of inspiration or guidance or direction for you that encouraged you to do the kind of amazing work that you do now and have been doing for so long?
This was an interesting choice for me to make to go into this field because it was not my first career, and my intention was to stay in my first career pretty much for the rest of my life. And when my son was born, he had some medical issues and needed lots of surgery over many years and retraining and physio and occupational therapy. And with his surgeon seeing what I was doing with him to help him be as responsible for himself that he could be, she started arguing with me that I needed to go and work with all her future patients. I argued with her for about 2 years, and then she looked at me one day before one of his surgeries and said, "You don't take off the surgeon who's going to have a scalpel over your son in an hour." So I told her, "Okay, you do your surgery, and we'll talk afterwards." And that meant me going back to school, retraining, delving into the world of psychology and human systems and everything else, which I did over the years. I kept going for different educations and training to be able to do what I needed to do best, and that was work with all her future patients. It has since evolved, and you know, because of that, I'm now working in systems across countries, in governments, in corporations, all kinds of fields, applying what I learned way back when to what I'm doing right now.
Wow. That's incredible, huh? So you were sort of really directed or I guess almost ordered or really told this is what must happen, I guess, huh?
Definitely, and you don't argue with her. I learned that over the years. She's a tough cookie,
yeah.
One of the best surgeons in the world, and I realized that if I went into this field, not only would I help her patients, but I would help my son have the best possible life that he could have. Period. You know, that to me was the impetus for me to say yes.
Mm. And, you know, bless her for really seeing that in you and saying this is what you got to do. So tell us about the work that you do for those listening saying, okay, you know, I heard Jim's intro and a little bit of your biography, but how do you describe the work that you do, Donna?
Well, it's really an intersection amongst three different areas. One is human systems, which is where the executive coaching lies and the leadership coaching and the one-on-one work. Then there's the organizational psychology piece, which is the organizational systems and you know, how an organization operates and whether or not it supports its mandate and the people that work within it. And then there's the organizational behavioral piece or the culture, the climate within which people work and whether or not it's healthy and supportive or not. So it, you know, really is that 360 perspective of human and organizational involvement in a way. You know, there are
yeah.
many different approaches that people could take, and the shadow coaching that you mentioned
yeah.
at you know, the top of the show really also incorporates a major part of my work, which is working with people's shadows, their insecurities, the side of themselves that's dark part of their psyche, to their hidden
mm-hmm.
potential and that which they have
yeah.
not yet discovered. So, you know, really it is that full spectrum of how growth, evolution, you know, in a person's approach to life, their world, work, all of it happens.
And so I'm assessing here then the shadow, like you mentioned, which is a significant part of your work. The shadow is everything that you're sort of uncomfortable about yourself, those, as you mentioned, those fears, insecurities, all the way to your hidden potential, sort of that the unknown unknowns about yourself. It must take an incredible amount of energy to hide your shadow, huh? People fighting it on a regular basis and the shadow is sort of always going to try to win.
Well, it's the troubling side that we all own. We all have what's called the shadow archetype or the part of ourselves that we're very uncomfortable with.
And
people are often uncomfortable with emerging potential that comes to the fore because they don't know what to do with it. They've just discovered it. So, again, it's the uncomfortableness of our own psyche that we deal with every day. And to be able to shine a light on that shadow so it's no longer so dark is a phenomenal way for somebody to be able to integrate that side of them into their approach, decision-making, and everything else. To recognize that those roadblocks might be present to say, I don't deserve this. What if I make a mistake? You know, what happens that could implicate somebody's life in some instances? So what, you know, how do I recognize that those fears and insecurities are there and actually confront them head on?
Exactly, and you help them do that. And sometimes that might not be easy for people because they've always pushed it aside or feared it or just didn't want to deal with it head on, but you have the capacity to show them. So you obviously, Donna, wear a lot of hats, and you're really diversified in terms of your clientele and their needs, right? I mean, would you say that your clientele are folks who come from a variety of different endeavors and genres and maybe even stages of life?
Definitely. I mean, most of my clients are leaders or entry-level leaders or high potentials that they're grooming to be the future leaders of an organization. My clients are range from a myriad of fields, everything from global corporations to medical professionals, governments, political leaders, innovators, technologists, engineers, scientists. The range is really huge. The approach is tailored to what they need, but their needs are universal. Everybody has specific needs that they bring to the table, and we look at them head on and see, is it an organizational change? Is it an individual change so that they keep up with the needs of an organization and their mandate? So the hats, you know, that I wear, it's interesting. You know, I when I wear a hat in political or government realm, it's never easy working at a bureaucratic level or being an elected official. And different countries bring different challenges to that table. So it's one, you know, area of focus. Corporate leaders, publicly traded organizations, that kind of thing, they have different pressures and stressors. And then you have what I call my play work, because for me it's play, it's not for my clients. The fellowship programs that I support, the TED Fellows from TED Talks, they have a phenomenal fellowship program. Unreasonable Institute and Starting Block, those three fellowship programs are literally growing the leaders of the future, doing work that the world has not yet seen. So to be able to work with them, to formalize an idea into a business model, actually mainstream project, is to me the biggest joy that I have in my work. Then
yeah, so
I forgot,
really...
I also run a school, so I'm actually training master-level coaches in doing the shadow coaching that I do. And just for clarification, I should have mentioned this before. The shadow coaching is working with shadow and shadowing. So in other words, it's the observation of a client in the midst of their work. I don't take them away from the workplace. I coach them through their work. So it's like, you know, a sports coach. Could you imagine coaching an athlete and never seeing what they're doing? Never seeing, if it's a golfer, for example, how much wind there is that's going to impact their, you know, how their ball moves. There's so many different factors that have nothing to do with the individual. I can't imagine coaching them outside of their life as it unfolds.
Right, exactly, right. So spotting them, shadowing them at the same time, that's fantastic. So where does it come from, that desire that you have to want to help people, Donna? If you were to really, you know, take a moment and analyze yourself in that way, we all have our own inner drives and our inner enthusiasm. Where do you think yours is coming from?
That's a really good question and not so easy to answer, but I'll take a stab at it. You know, I figure if I could help someone change the world in a profound way, whether it's in their leadership, their innovative ideas, sense of contribution to something greater than who they are, then that's more rewarding to me than you know. And it works as well for me because there's only so much I would be able to do in an organization, within my community, my family, whatever it is, that would positively impact them. This way, I get to work with global game changers, those who are changing the world, making it better, whether it's their organization or the world as it stands now, like the global world. And in working with specific clients and people in certain fields, the ripple effect is huge because what I do with them, they could do with others, not necessarily to the level that I do it. But the ripple effect when I'm in an organization is huge. So that continues to inspire me to do what it is that I'm doing and always be looking for, am I working with the right clients? Is it the right fit for me as well? So that I have this universal impact, so to speak.
Right, exactly, right. Because when you help one, you're oftentimes helping so many others. What do you think is it about your particular approach, Donna, that sets you apart and makes you so good at what you do?
I think it's my ability to see beyond the obvious, to see the in-betweens. So what I mean by that is the difference between the spoken word and the full picture, the difference between where one client resides or a client in their team, because I work with a lot of teams as well, and that gap between what they're doing and what they can be doing to have even a greater impact or better success. I think, you know, why I'm good about this is I could be absolutely silent. And people look at me and they'll look at my picture and see red hair and they'll say, how do you, like, not be noticed? And it's so funny because within 10 minutes I could literally disappear in the awareness of my clients so that they just go on and do their work knowing that I'm there and I'm an impartial observer to pick up everything that they're not going to be paying attention to. So I think, you know, that's why I'm successful, because of that. And secondly, I think it's because, or I truly believe it's because I give my clients what they need, not what they think they could get. And by that, I mean that I will not be so rigid in my approach and work with one model for everyone, so like one size fits all kind of thing, to be able to tailor and dance in real time with whatever unfolds, so I continuously give them what it is that they need. And I think that's why I've excelled over the years.
What I like, too, is your approach to not just being there for them and showing them what needs to be done, but giving them the tools, and this is so important in so many aspects of life, but also giving them the tools and resources they need so when Donna Carlin isn't in the room with them, they have the ability to sort of tap into those skills, the resources, the tools that you've provided to master whatever it is they are looking to master while Donna is not in the room with them, right?
Oh, I absolutely agree. Let me share like one of the models that I use with some of my clients. And that's the model of the difference between responsible to and responsible for. So for me, as an executive coach or an org psych or whatever you want to call me, depending on what hat I'm wearing at the time, I never want to be responsible for my client's choices, decisions, thinking, emotions, any of it. That is not my job. And if I become responsible for their choices and decisions and everything else, I have totally disempowered them because I've now owned the responsibility for all their successes and all their failures. So they could point a finger at me if things tank and say, it's your fault because this was your idea, number one. Number two, if they succeed, they don't really own that success because it's been me driving it. So I never want to be at the point where I'm responsible for my clients. To be responsible to them, to help them figure out how to think in certain situations, how they make decisions, to recognize when shadows emerge, so they're filtering decisions through something very dark in them, in which case they're not open to everything they need to be open to make those decisions. That's where the shift happens, so that they will feel coached 24/7, because they've learned how they think, how to make better decisions, models within which to filter that decision-making so they do it for the right reasons, not because of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, another reason why I think, going back to that enthusiasm, I think you're great is, of course, the enthusiasm. I can really hear it over the phone, and you're obviously very passionate about what you do, and I think that is terrific. I applaud you for that because you got to have passion. You know, you've talked about what you meant by shadow. Now, we're also talking about leadership, too. How important is leadership to the work you're doing with your clients.
It's critical. I mean, if leaders don't support this work, then my clients will be fighting City Hall from the get-go. But it works both ways.
Yeah.
Most of my clients are leaders, and they have to get out of their own way to redefine their leadership if it's not working, be open to that feedback, and to be shifting their style in order for it to work better. And if their staff doesn't give them the benefit of the doubt and that they're trying to be better and do better, then again, the work will not be sustainable. So it's critical, both sides of the coin, not only leadership, but also followership. And that is a key point. I will not engage in an organization with somebody if I'm working at an organizational in an organizational context without having those conversations with the leaders. And I mean, some of my clients will say it's, you know, Donna's sneaky 101, because I'll turn to them and say, will you share with them the changes that you're seeing? Will you give them feedback when you see something new? Is there a way that you could have that interaction so that they know that you're supporting them as well? And I actually call the leaders on it so that, you know, they agree and partner with me in helping make this a sustainable intervention.
Now, they say, you know, they say more money, more problems, actually. And it's sort of lonely at the top once you reach that pinnacle. And it sounds like that might be some of the clients, too, right? What do you think inspires them to give you a call in the first place? Are they at a certain point where things are just not going right, or they've reached a plateau, or they're stuck, blocked? When they make that initial contact with you, Donna, money, you know, for them might not even be the initial thing that they're calling about, in terms of they may be very secure and making very good money and everything is great on that end, but there could be other things that they are really struggling with. So when they come to you or connect with you, is there a prerequisite? Are they usually at a certain stuck point?
It's not always stuck. You know, the one thing that I'd like to make very clear, and I share this with a lot of people in organizations, is I don't believe we fix people. I believe that we grow people. And I think that on our own, there's only so far that we could go without having somebody else create paradoxes for you, ask the edgy questions, help you see beyond what you already know. You're absolutely right. You know, with more money comes more problems, because the higher up somebody goes, oftentimes, I'm not saying all, the trust level decreases in why do people want to hang out with me? Why do they want to be connected with me? Is it because of my level, my clout, my money, all of that? And they stop trusting that people want to be with them for them. So they lose that side of their allies and connections and the sense of well-being. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why people will call me, because they don't necessarily have allies at that level. And they don't necessarily trust as well that people are giving them the right information and the right advice, because oftentimes they think, okay, they're in it for what's in it for them, so to speak. Years ago, when Fast Company magazine was out of Boston, when it was that, you know, really thick, wonderful magazine, I got a call from the executive editor one day to interview me on beware of what you ask for because you just might get it. And it was exactly on this topic. It was about these senior leaders who had dreamed of the position and being CEOs of global companies, and they had the cars and the condos in various cities around the world and the boats and all the materialistic things, but they were losing the people in their life. And then, you know, the question was, now what? You know, they were young in many instances, they reached the pinnacle of what their dreams were, and now they didn't know what was next. And often, you know, they would be pointed in my direction for them to see what they're not paying attention to. And they find me in companies where I'm already working with senior leaders, or reverse engineering what a future looks like for a company, which is one of the things that I do. to TED events and places where I'm working with the fellows, and I'll ask them a question. They go, I need more. I need to talk to you and explore this because I hadn't even thought of that. Because I'm connecting people and ideas, people with people, and I have such a diverse range of people that I could connect them with, that they could work on initiatives with a partner, somebody to really support them in the passion that they have to make a difference that isn't the money aspect of things. Sure, money comes to the table, and being able to fund some of these projects is really something. However, you know, the driving force behind it is that they are doing something beyond what they ever thought possible or what they're currently doing.
You know, it really does sound, and I touched on this in the beginning, it really does sound, in listening to this conversation and what you do, you really do take a solid 360-degree approach, don't you, Donna?
I do. You know, when you work at the intersection of people, organizational systems, and organizational behaviors with a goal towards what are you doing? Now, you know, people say start with the why, like what is the reason behind why you're doing what you're doing, which is important. But you also have to look at the what and the how. So, you know, the what and the how is about people. I mean, organizations are only as good as their people. You could have the greatest intent, the greatest mission, vision, statement in the world. You don't have the right people aligned or the right talents, strengths, and traits aligned, then you're not going to be successful. You have to take a 360-degree approach. Otherwise, you're only dealing with one piece of the pie, and that's not going to be a sustainable, strong foundation within where people could work, succeed, and really be able to give their highest and best contribution so the organization really, you know, steps up. I always say, don't be the best, be the only. Only do what you could only do. If you're doing something that 15 other organizations or thousands of other people are doing, you need to find your point of distinction, and that's where I start. What is your point of distinction? Who are you that is so unique that, you know, people go to you because there's nobody else that comes to mind? Same thing goes for an organization, what they're doing, how they're doing it. You could be producing something that is similar to another organization. The how is going to be where your point of distinction is. So I believe we can't be superficial in our approach to be successful. We need to go for sustainable change, and that goes for every aspect of what surrounds a person, an idea, an organization, and go from there.
I really, really, really like don't be the best, be the only. Boy, is that really powerful, and what a great way, a different perspective, a great way to look at it all. I think that is sensational. Ever since you said that, I've been rehearsing that in my head over and over and over. Don't just be try to be the best, but to be the only. I think that is sick. Well, we have just a couple of seconds left here. I cannot believe what a fascinating conversation with you, Donna. You'll be back next week, same time, here on CUTV News Radio Live. What are the best ways for people to connect with you if they want to learn more?
Well, I have a portal site, which is links to my other sites that could give them the targeted information that they need, and that's donnacarlin.com. If they want to reach me through email, they could reach me through that site, or through the No Ceiling Just Sky Institute. So that's, you know, the web links, I believe, are up there, nocealingjustskyinstitute.com and donnacarlin.com. And that's the best way for them to reach me to find out more.
Excellent. And that's Carlin with a K. Donna Carlin,
yes,
of No Ceiling Just Sky Institute and the Shadow Coach, thank you so very much for joining us on the show today and sharing all this great information with us. You're amazing at what you do, and we applaud you for what you're doing because you're touching so many lives in such a positive way. And look forward to your return with us for part two next week, same time here on CUTV News Radio. Thanks again, Donna.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Take care now. And thank you for listening to CUTV News Radio. I'm your host, Jim Master. For all of us here, we wish you a terrific day. More great shows coming up, so don't go anywhere. Bye for now.